All right, our call to worship today is found in 1 John 5:11. And it says, "And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we just thank you for this time that we can come and gather together and worship you. We thank you for all that you have done this Christmas season as we reflect on your work, sending your Son. Lord, I pray that this message be a blessing in your sight through the message and through the song and through the fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen. Merry Christmas! Just a few hours early, but that's okay. That's okay. Last week, if you were here, we looked at somebody by the name of Joseph and the struggles that he had when he found out his wife-to-be was already with a child. We noticed that even though the two of them were not married, they were still under obligation to be faithful to one another. See, they had to follow the standards of marriage. But one thing they could not do during this engagement process was to have relations between one another until the marriage ceremony was over with. They were considered married, but with limited contact. So after Joseph found out about his wife's conditions, he had to decide what to do. One, he was a righteous man, he had to protect his character. And two, he loved Mary so much that he did not want her to face public persecution or death. So he intended on divorcing her quietly in front of two witnesses, which of course was legal by Jewish law. So as Joseph was working all that out in his mind, a God talked to Joseph in a dream and reassured him that Mary was chosen. She was chosen to carry the Son of God. And of course, they obeyed. Joseph was chosen by God to be a role model for Christ, and he had to train him in being a man, and he taught Jesus the skill of a carpenter. So Joseph's family, along with one extra child, Jesus, they got to care for them. See, God chose Mary and Joseph to raise his son. He called them. He said, "Guess what? I'm going to use you. I'm going to use you to raise my son." No pressure. No pressure whatsoever on that aspect. He called them, and of course they were obedient. They obeyed and raised him the best that they could. Even though, again, like I said last week, they forgot him one time. So now this morning, we're going to look at a different group of people. We're going to look at who else God called. God called the shepherds. And today we're going to look at the book of Luke, chapter 2. We're going to be reading verses 8 through 20. So please, if you have your Bibles, I'll give you a moment to turn to Luke, chapter 2. And sometimes I stumble through reading this because as I grew up, I liked to watch cartoons, and I always remember the Charlie Brown Christmas when Linus recited this, and my version is not the same as his. So we all kind of memorize things in different translations. So bear with me. And it says, "And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, that you will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased.' When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it has been told to them. The shepherds. The shepherds of the time of Christ did things a little differently. They didn't have a truck or a four-wheeler to go check on the sheep on occasion. They did not leave them in care of a llama or a sheepdog. Every time, again, I think I watch way too many cartoons. I always think of the coyote and the sheepdog, and how the coyote would dress up as something and the sheepdog would find it and the coyote would get beat up. And yeah, they didn't have that. They were out there. We notice in the text that the shepherds were in the field and they were watching their flock. They were out there with them. They were there with them, guiding them, protecting them. And at night, nonetheless. I don't know too many sheep farmers that spend the whole night out there with the sheep. But I imagine there's some that do. I don't know why. It takes a certain kind of person to work with sheep. When the shepherds, of course, and back in the time, when the shepherds went out to be with their sheep, they had to take a few things with them. And it consists of a bag made of goat skin with the legs tied, which is used to carry food and other items. So in this bag, what they would have would be a sling for protection against other animals, a rod that was about 30 inches long with a knob on one end, then a staff with a crook on the other end, a flute for entertainment and calming the sheep, and finally a cloak used as bedding at night as well. So all this ahead in this one little bag that they tied with the animal they killed and used as a bag. Imagine they put it on the stick and kind of walk to where they're going. Again, too many cartoons. What did my parents do? So, also, the occupation of being a shepherd was of low standards. It was one of the worst jobs anybody could do. As Luke 2:8 tells us, the news about the birth of the Savior was given to the shepherds. So what makes that so significant? Why the shepherds? You see, the shepherds were at the bottom of the social list for a number of different reasons. If they had a Facebook account, their friend count would maybe 3 or 4, and that would be each other and their own group. See, these people had no form of formal education, and they were unskilled. And that's what I found, they were unskilled, and I was thinking, you know what? I've worked with sheep once. Was never asked to go back out there again after killing one. And you have to have patience. You have to have patience working with sheep. You can't just take off running after them, because then they hit a steel panel and they die. So yeah, they had some skill. Also, prior to the New Testament, most of them were dishonest, unreliable, unsavory characters. They were so disliked that they were not even allowed to testify in court. A few years ago, I would have liked to have been a shepherd. I wouldn't have gone to court for missing jury duty one time. Don't do that, by the way. The shepherds were also considered ceremonial unclean because of their occupation. See, when you're out there working with the sheep and you're out there doing whatever it is you're doing, watching them, there's not a house close by. You don't have the opportunity to take a shower all the time. I imagine you smelled like your job, like sheep. Yes, you would. I remember, it's kind of like when I was a sanitation engineer, also known as a garbage man. The first thing I would do is when I would get home is I would get in the shower. I remember one time we just got into a couple hours in our route. And I did residential, we threw the cans by hand. And I went to compact the garbage. I got sprayed with something. Liquidy, slimy. Now when you get sprayed with substance, you don't figure out what it was. You don't. So I got sprayed and my buddy who's with me, DC, he laughed. As I would too if it was him. I said, hey, let's go home. He drove me home. I smelled like I worked. So I showered in the middle of the day on that. So anyways, the shepherd, get back to shepherds. So they were viewed in constant violation of the religious laws, thus being ceremonial unclean. But you know, I'm kind of beating up the shepherds a little bit. We must remember that not all shepherds were like this. Some of the greatest and most successful people were shepherds, such as Moses and David. Also, the Old Testament metaphorically refers to God as the shepherd of Israel. And Jesus refers to himself as the good shepherd. Shepherds were, however, lowly, humble people. They were certainly not the ones who would expect to receive the greatest announcement in the world. But yet, God did bring the best news to these people through his angels. What a way to receive a message through angels. These shepherds were around Bethlehem, approximately 6 miles south of Jerusalem. They were staying outside watching their sheep. Since it was nighttime, the sheep were probably not just wandering around an open pasture. Bad things happen. They probably were moved into sheepfolds so that the shepherds could keep a close eye on them. The sheepfold allows for one person to rest while the other person keeps watch for thieves and wild animals. And I was thinking about this. What would I do if I was a shepherd back in this time? And I had to be the one awake while my buddy was sleeping. I hope that ADD wouldn't kick in. Because watching sheep, I would get so distracted way too easy. Ooh, a rock. But anyway, yes. I could paint. That rock would make a good turtle. I could paint. But they have to watch the sheep. They have to be on the constant lookout for other critters and other people. So the shepherds at this time were doing their job. That requires all of their time. They have to concentrate, focus. Then all of a sudden, the routine was amazingly shattered in the most unexpected way. They were doing what seems normal to them, watching sheep. Then an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared and stood before them. There was no warning sign, no text messages, no letters telling them what was going to happen. It just happened in the blink of an eye. God sent an angel, and many people think this angel may have been Gabriel because he also appeared to Zacharias and Mary. But the text does not tell us for sure. Of course, this put fear in the shepherds because the glory of the Lord was around them, which is nothing they've ever seen before. This fear is a normal response whenever anyone in Scripture either comes in contact with an angel or saw the glory of God noticeably. Again, I'm thinking the shepherds. They've seen this angel sent by God. Imagine being a shepherd, and then all of a sudden an angel appears to you. What's your first reaction? What did I do? I've got a guilty conscience. Maybe that's what I would think. What did I do? Why am I in trouble? Why did God have to send angels to come talk to me? So I can understand the fear in them. Then the angel gave the shepherds a clear message that even they, being uneducated shepherds, could understand. The first thing he said is to fear not. Fear not. The shepherds should not worry about the event at hand because they are going to witness an event an event so big that the whole world is going to talk about it for ages to come. They are not in any kind of danger. Rather, the angel is bringing good news that will be for all people. This news will also bring great joy to all as well. He proclaims that the awaited Savior has arrived. The one that was foretold. Everything that God mentioned in the past concerning the birth of the Savior is unfolding right then. The one who is going to defeat sin by dying and defeat death by raising from the dead. That's who's coming. This good news was first given to the Jews, and then after the ascension, given to the rest of the world. Then the angel tells of the event that has happened. For the benefit, for the world's benefit, in the city of David, which is Bethlehem, the Savior is born, who is Christ the Lord. Notice that the angel did not give a name, but rather the name Jesus means the Lord is salvation. And its meaning is encompassed by the term Savior. The angel is telling them that some of the prophecy concerning the Messiah has come. For Isaiah 9:6 tells us, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." See, this, what happened here, is this is God coming down to earth in human form so he can restore peace between man and God. He remained fully deity and took on fully human form. Then following that, he gives the shepherds a sign so that they may recognize this amazing child. He gives them a sign. The angel said this child will be wrapped in cloth. Not a big surprise. Babies are born, you wrap them in a cloth. So that was not abnormal. But the next part is very unique. And laying in a manger. See, placing an infant down was not normal practice, let alone putting an infant in a manger. Now, as we drive through towns and see nativity scenes, I'm going to pick on a nativity scene just for a minute. We got this little tiny manger, oh, so big usually, or smaller like that. And it looks so cute, so warm and fuzzy. A manger is a feeding box. It's a feeding box. It wasn't designed for kids. Animals ate out of it. And when animals eat out of it, sometimes they'll eat and they'll drop the food back in there. It's dirty. It's not clean. But we get this sense from the things that we've seen how it's such a beautiful place, a beautifully placed barn with this cute little manger made for a baby. No. It wasn't. And putting an infant down in that? I'm not sure who would do that. But that was a unique sign. That was a unique sign. See, these details were given to the shepherds to help them locate the infant the angel told them about. Then after the angels got done telling the shepherds all of this, more angels appeared. The text tells us that there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts. These angels got together in front of the shepherds and started praising God for all that he has done. They were excited about the coming Messiah and the fulfillment of God's promise to mankind. All heaven broke loose with rejoicing at the birth of the Son of God. The angels were rejoicing at Christ's coming. Now, the angels don't benefit from the work of Christ. Mankind does. We benefit from it, from his work. The angels knew Christ as the second person of the Trinity before his incarnation, before he became man, where they saw his overwhelming glory. They understood that the fall had transformed the human race into sinful rebels against God, but they also knew that God had provided a way of salvation for man. And the really cool thing is the shepherds got to witnesses. Those shepherds with low status, looked down upon. got to witness angels praising. After this gathering, the angels departed and went back to heaven. And the shepherds talked about what they had seen and heard. Then after some small discussion, they decided to travel to Bethlehem to see what the angels were talking about and praising God about. Like, we got to go see this. But before any of the shepherds could go, one little dilemma to work out. Who's going to stay behind and watch the sheep? Who's going to watch them? Now, I would really, really hate to be the guy that either lost at rock, paper, scissors or drew the short straw on this one. Anyways, someone was left behind, or maybe even they found another shepherd to watch, because sometimes they would do that. So after they got those details worked out, they were on their way. The shepherds left in a hurry to find Mary and Joseph with the child. According to tradition, the fields where the shepherds were about 2 miles from Bethlehem. So they had a nice little walk in the dark to Bethlehem. Luke does not tell us how the shepherds found Christ, but since it was a smaller village, there might not have been many infants born in the area. And if you guys have ever been to a small town, the birth of a child is pretty well known to the whole community within, oh, probably a day. And quicker depends on who else finds out. Some people like to spread that news. When the shepherds arrived, it was just as the angels had told them. A child was laying in a manger, not in the arms of his mother's, so the angels' message was confirmed and their faith was verified. After they got there, the shepherds talked with Mary and Joseph. And there must have been some interesting conversation between the new parents and the shepherds. The young couple was in no doubt overwhelmed by the shepherds telling them about the event they had witnessed with the angels. The words of the angels provided further confirmation to Mary and Joseph who their child was. It was more evidence that this is God's son, the son of God. Some of the information that was shared between Mary, Joseph, and the shepherds were kept between them. Only they know what was said. Mary kept all these things in her mind. She reflected on them deeply. She reflected deeply on all that has happened. The significance of the birth of God's son and what that birth meant for her and Joseph as his earthly parents. The shepherds had an amazing evening. One that changed lives forever. Of course, life goes on for the shepherds. They went back to their flock, giving praise and glory to God for all that he has done. They got to see the Messiah, the Son of God. They were excited about this, and they got to witness one of God's greatest plans being revealed. Now, this passage that we looked at is partly about the shepherd's view on the birth of Christ and how God chose to give them the message about his son being born through the angels. These guys were low on social status, were looked down upon. They were also unclean according to man's tradition. But God saw them through his eyes and chose them to witness this amazing event that brought salvation to all mankind. You see, God called the shepherds. He called them. He sent a special message to them. So they can see his plan unveiled. See, God did not call the kings, the people of high places, the people of high standards, the rich people, the high priest. He called the shepherds. He called them to his son to go witness it. You see, God sent his son to save the lost sinner. He made it possible for mankind to have a relationship with him. See, he sent his son, Jesus, to the world to be born of a virgin, to live a sinless life, to live a life perfect. And that life was pleasing to God. And then he died as a perfect sacrifice. He did nothing wrong. He obeyed his father. His life was pleasing to him. And Christ took the punishment. He took the beatings. He took the cross. So we can live with God for eternity. That is God's plan. He wants a relationship with us. He's called us. We don't have to change our life before we come to him. We don't have to be this great person all at once. Because you can't. Apart from Christ, you can't. God is calling you as you are. As you are sitting there. As you are when you're at your job. It's as you are. Not anybody else. You don't have to, I got to change my attitude. I got to change this. I've got to stop doing this. I got to stop thinking this. You can change those things if you want to, but God's not calling you to do that. He's calling you, trust me, I sent my son. He will help you take care of it. Put your trust in him. Put your faith in him. God will clean you of your sins when you accept his son as your personal savior. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that you have told us about your plan of salvation, that you have sent your son, sent as a man, humbling himself and taking the punishment that we deserve. As we reflect on Christmas time, we're looking at the birth, the amazing birth, the amazing events that happened, how everything you said came true concerning his birth. There should be no doubt in our minds that you are God, that you love us, that you sent your son to take our place. And Lord, if there's anyone here that needs to hear your message, Lord, speak to them. If anyone is here that has not called your son Savior, speak to them. Open their hearts. Let them know that you provide a way to salvation. All we have to do is believe. And we say, Lord God, I am a sinner. I can do nothing apart from you. You sent your son, Jesus Christ, to take my place. You sent your son to this earth to live a perfect life, a life that was pleasing to you. And he took my punishment. And Lord, I thank you that you have done that. I thank you for all that you are doing, that you did not leave us eternally separated, but you have called us. And if that was the prayer of your heart, I welcome you to God's kingdom. For the rest of us here, what are we doing? Lord, I pray that you impact our hearts. Use us to further your kingdom. Use us to spread the gospel message. You did send your son. That they can see Christ through our lives. That we can go back rejoicing over the things that you have done. And people will see that and people will become aware of that. And they'll ask questions and they will ask us what makes us have hope. And we can boldly say, Lord, it is your work. We thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. I leave you with Galatians 4, verses 4 through 5. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons.